Welcome to Sex Chat for Christian Wives.
We're four marriage and sex bloggers.
Discuss the naked truth.
What does God really want for the sexual intimacy in our marriage?
I'm Jay Parker of Hot, Holy, and Humorous.
I'm Chris Taylor from The Forgiven Wife.
I'm Gay Christmas of Calm, Healthy, Sexy.
I'm Bonnie Burns of Oyster Bed 7.
This episode is sponsored in part by Married Dance. Married Dance is a Christian-owned store for marital aids and sex furniture, run by a husband and wife team. Their selection includes only nudity-free product images with product descriptions that are informative and marriage-centered. Married Dance provides discreet shipping and billing. Learn more at marrieddance.com or click on the link in our show notes. No matter how much accurate and healthy teaching you had about sex from your church and your parents, chances are you learned some things from popular culture, too. Movies, television shows, and popular music often communicate messages about sex that are more myth than they are truth. In this episode of Sex Chat for Christian Wives, we're going to talk about some of those myths that we learned from pop culture, and we'll also look at the truths that should replace those myths. So, ladies, what were some of the myths that you've seen pop culture communicate about marriage and sex? About women's sexuality and about men's sexuality?
Well, I know I've seen a bunch of TV shows that have two themes over and over. And that is, anytime you have a show with people who are married, there's the presumption that he wants sex all the time and she doesn't. And that's not accurate. It's especially not accurate for higher drive wives. As you know, I'm a yes. champion for those ladies. and then the other theme I've seen a lot is just this idea that men just watch porn. That's what they do. And it's just very typical. You know, how many times do you have somebody who walks in and there's a guy and they're like, oh yeah, we were watching porn? Or it's just presumed that that's what men, and sometimes couples do. And that it has no effect on their sex lives, or maybe even a positive effect on their sex lives.
I think another one is that sex is really easy. Like, this maybe especially comes from romance novels, but maybe some movies too, where a couple, you know, falls into bed and they instantly they both have an orgasm at the same time and everything is very, you know, magical and easy. And then I think when people get into like a real life sex life, they think, oh, well, there must be something wrong with me, because it's not like in the romance novels.
Yeah. And I think I've seen it, the influence that the best sex is single sex.
Yeah. The marriage is where sex goes to die.
Yeah. Marriage is where sex goes to die. And that's just not true. Of course, you know, and I totally agree with Gay and Jay about, especially gays, with that, that sex is just not work. I mean, and along with those lines that, that sex isn't work is that the female sexual response looks just like the males, because if the females looks just like the males, there isn't any work.
Well, I wanted to share, I posted about this in our Facebook group. So we have a Facebook page where we post links to different things, but we also have a Facebook group. So listeners, if you go to our Facebook page for Christian Wives, then there's a group option there. You can learn more about that. But I asked in our group, what have you learned from popular culture about sex? And most of what they said are the things that you've all just said. I had the impression that men just want sex all the time. I thought sex was supposed to be easy, magical, always fun, never any issues, always passionate. Movies give the impression that sex and foreplay are super steamy and passionate, when in reality, there are times when it's more like, hey, we got a few minutes. You want to go to the bedroom?
Yeah. I joked the other day that my husband actually, I said, this is another one of your sexual initiation lines that worked and really shouldn't. He just looked at me and he said, let's go.
It's always hot and it always works. In other words, woman always has an orgasm. I'm thinking, yeah, that's... Oh, here's another one. I always thought it would be super passionate, want to rip each other's clothes off, can't even think straight. I mean, sex is awesome and all, but I was definitely surprised by how many logical and logistical moments there can be, like, hey, your arm is in my way, or being distracted by the bed creaking. Anyway, I thought that those are things we've talked about a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And
another one that just came to mind is there's never any erectile dysfunction.
Or any dysfunction.
Or like she said, fumbles. I mean, you always know, they know exactly where to put what. And
there's never artificial lube.
There's never any lube, no.
That's true. My favorite, too, is the simultaneous orgasm is guaranteed every single time.
Yes, within 3 minutes. Within 3 minutes.
Yes. And also, another one that we haven't mentioned. I'm sorry, did you want to say something on that, Chris?
No, go ahead. I have something that might be what you're going to say.
What the other ones is that this idea that the best sex is had by pretty people.
Oh, no, that was not what I was thinking.
Go ahead. We can get to that one in a minute. Go ahead.
Because if you're visually hot, obviously that's going to turn your spouse on more. The other one is that orgasm happens through intercourse, always. Yes. And there's never any need for anything else.
And face-to-face missionary position in this thing. Also, they're never in an odd, this is very specific, but if you ever see a sex scene, they're never in any kind of weird position under the sheets. It's kind of the straight line. And I'm thinking, somebody should have their hips higher or something. I mean, something should be a little more positional to get us there. I'm like, how are you even doing that?
Nobody's butts hanging out weird. Yeah. So I thought those were really good things to hear from what our listeners have learned about sex from pop culture. I think a lot about that show Everybody Loves Raymond. And I mean, I've seen this on a lot of shows, but I do remember a couple scenes from that show in particular where it wasn't just that the man always wants sex and the woman never wants sex. It was also that it was the woman's job to control the man's sex drive. Oh. And I mean, I've seen that in so many movies.
I'm going to say, on the flip side, do you guys ever watch The 70s Show?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
It's one of my favorites. Well, Red.
Because I used to have a lot of those clothes that they wear.
I watched that and I'm like, I knew that.
I had that.
Yeah, it takes me right back to childhood. But Miss Kitty and Red have a great sex life because whenever they have a chance and the kids are all out of the house, they look at each other and they run up the stairs. So I think they do mentor a good, healthy relationship. And
so did Mr. and Mrs. Cunningham on the Happy Days. No. Remember, she'd say, I'm frisky.
Yes.
And they'd run upstairs together.
Yes. You know, I haven't seen Happy Days in so long that I don't think that registered with me as a kid.
Yeah, well, now you're never going to be able to watch it without seeing that. Yeah, I mean, so there are some good examples. I mean, I don't want to pretend that popular culture is all bad, but
I almost want to write a post now that's Happy Days sex was better than Sex in the City. The sex in the city, because it was it really was, and I think that was the one thing that really sticks out to me is I saw just a few minutes of Sex in the City one time, and that's all it took for me to go, I'm never watching this again, because I'm watching, and the premise apparently was that, I don't know, whoever Sarah Jessica Parker's
Carrie Bradshaw.
Oh, thank you. And but Carrie Bradshaw is having this freak out that this guy is not trying to have sex with her and what is wrong with him. And they're all trying to figure out, oh my gosh, there's something wrong with this guy because he hasn't been making a move on her. And then they reveal how long they've been dating, because I was not up on that. They've been dating 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
He was being a gentleman.
And I was like, how dare he not have tried to have his way with her after 2 weeks? And I was like, if this is what the world believes about sex now, is it's you have sex first and then you decide if the person is worth being in a relationship with.
Right. Because it's all market. It's all about commodity. And it's like everyone's just on the market. So you don't want to hook up with someone you're not going to be compatible with.
Yeah. That compatibility issue is a big thing in pop culture too. It's this concept that, you would be compatible.
Right. Hey, is Married with Children, wasn't the wife a higher drive wife?
I think so. Yeah, she always wanted sex and he didn't want anything to do with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's true. She was. No wonder I liked Peggy.
She was awesome.
And you know, one of the things, the whole premise of Sex and the City in the first episode was Carrie Bradshaw saying, I decided I want to have sex like a man, which is no emotional attachment.
And that's the epitome of what pop culture is trying to make us believe.
Yeah. And the fact is that that's not even, you know, when we hear things like that, that really suggests some negative things about our actual real life husbands. Mm-hmm. And it makes it sound like they really don't care about any emotional attachment. Whereas what I hear from so many husbands is that when there's a lack of a sexual relationship, what they're really missing isn't an orgasm, because they can do that themselves. What they miss is that emotional connection and that intimacy with their wives.
Mm-hmm. For a husband who may have struggled with porn, where their intimacy ability is less than stellar, you know, they have a hard time with friendship and attachment. To negate that emotional intimacy goes along with sexual intimacy is really bad.
Well, there's a lot of sex happening in these different mediums that is transactional in nature. Mm-hmm. It is, I get pleasure by you, you get pleasured with me, and we see if that works out.
Mm-hmm. And, right. it's only about the physical pleasure.
Yeah.
There's no other dimensions. Yes.
But by golly, Ross didn't just want to have sex with Rachel. He wanted Rachel.
He did. He did want Rachel. And you know, I'm thinking too, because I'm running through my head all these examples, and I'm thinking of how little I've ever seen any foreplay on TV. I mean, not that I'm seeing actual sex, but even there's just not a hint of foreplay. It's sort of like we look at each other, they go into the bedroom, and all we see is a hint that there's an orgasm, but we never see that there's a relationship. So it's just not good on TV. Yeah, it looks like they're having a great time, but it's not at all what my life looks like.
I do remember years and years ago watching Grease, the movie, and they're in the diner and they're saying something about sex in 15 minutes. And this guy who had never had sex was like, that's all it takes, 15 minutes or something like that. Like, and this idea that they didn't know how long sex actually took. And the answer to that is no, it could take a lot less or a lot more depending on the people, the amount of time you have, but this idea that it, you know, you could get it done in 15 minutes was new news.
Oh, I thought it was something you could get done in between commercials.
There's also no one whose boobs sag in movies or romance or anything like that.
Oh, that's true. There's no gravity.
Yeah. How about only young people have sex?
Oh, yeah.
Or only young people have good sex, maybe.
Only young, pretty people have good sex.
Young, pretty people, yeah. I think that pretty people thing really, you know, that plays into a lot for women. Like, it plays into all the body image issues and the, you know, not being able to think of yourself as a sexual person because, you know, only those, like, skinny, blonde, 20-year-old women in the movies are sexual people. I think that's damaging to women. Mm-hmm.
There was an episode a long time ago when I watched 2 and a Half Men, and then it got really, anyway, I left it after some point, but there was an episode there that I thought it was a very good twist, where there was this absolutely gorgeous woman that the kind of player brother Charlie had dated. And then the girl wanted to, the brother, who's the other brother name? Anyway, but the kind of awkward brother ends up kind of stealing her away, so to speak. And Charlie's like, fine, whatever. And he's like, you're just saying that because, you know, I finally got a girl that you had and this and that. And then he goes to actually make love to her. And it turns out she was resting entirely on her looks. And she essentially lays down in the bed. It's like, okay, I'm just going to lie here. And she didn't do anything. She was completely non-participant. It was just like she thought the looks were enough. And he ended up dumping her because he was like, I don't care how pretty she is. That's not what I want.
And so that was the, so that right there is that the sex is for him and that she's not supposed to get anything out of it if all she's doing is looking pretty to turn him on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he concluded that he didn't, that's not what he actually wanted in bed. He would rather have someone who is not as pretty and participated more. And so I thought it was an interesting twist, but of course it didn't change the whole tenor of the show being to go out and find the young pretty girl to bed.
You know, my husband and I have been watching on, I don't know, Netflix or Hulu or something. We've been watching the old Dick Van Dyke Show. And even though they have separate twin beds, because that was required on the TV shows at the time, it is really clear that that portrays a romantic and sexual relationship. I mean, things that I, you know, I'd watched the reruns when I was young, and I totally did not pick up on all the things I'm getting now and thinking, wow, mm-hmm. that was kind of racy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just thinking that there were some good role models, and I like that there was this hint that that's married couples kiss, and that it's always not just about heading into the bedroom. Sometimes it's about showing affection and just reconnecting briefly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are good models out there. I have to say, a lot of these shows that I'm mentioning, I don't watch that anymore anyway. I've been hung up on British mysteries too much lately.
Yeah, same with me.
I could talk about the pop culture myths of murder.
I can talk about the sexual. I can talk about the sexual habits of zombies.
Oh. Yeah, there.
I have no response to that.
Hi friends, this is Bonnie. We want to step away from the conversation for just a moment to thank our sponsor, Everpillow by Infinite Moon. These amazing pillows are made in Colorado. They're fully customizable for every sleep style and body type, not your one-size-fits-all type of pillow. You make it uniquely yours by adding or removing the natural fill to get the desired loft and feel that you want. Everpillow was chosen by Washington Post as the number one pillow of 2018. And recently, the sleep doctor brought the Everpillow as a gift to Hoda on NBC's Today Show. No chemicals, memory foam, or cheap polyfills, just all natural and ridiculously comfortable. Not only a great pillow, but a pillow with a purpose. Infinite Moon is a social enterprise that helps provide jobs to former felons, homeless, and addicts. Say no more to achy neck pain and bad sleep. Visit www.infinitemoon.com and use coupon code SEXCHAT10 in the cart for 10% off. Free delivery and a 100-day no-risk trial. Everpillow by Infinite Moon. Made by us. Perfected by you. And now, friends, back to the conversation.
Let's segue from zombies to the Bible. Popular culture tells us all these things about men's sexuality, women's sexuality, what sex is supposed to be like. What does the Bible tell us about all those things?
Well, there's the Song of Solomon.
Our favorite book.
Yes. Yes.
And what does Song of Solomon say?
That sex is good.
And for it's mutual, that it's for
it
both
is mutual.
Of you.
I'm being silly, yeah.
I know.
It's mutual, and that it can be in, you can do it in a garden, you can do it in your house, you can do it in different places.
Sounds like a Dr. Seuss.
You can do it. I know. I'm like, what's next?
You can do it at a house, you can do it next to a mouse. You can do
it. There's freedom. There's sexual freedom.
Well, and you know, there are some places in Song of Solomon where it really strong, there's a strong hint of, you know, manual sex, oral sex, that it's not just about intercourse. Mm-hmm. I know some of our listeners are sitting there thinking.
There's some an of our emotional component too. There's an emotional component that actually it just dawned on me. We talk about so much the positions and the physicality that's represented in the Song of Solomon, but there's also a lot of emotional intimacy there too. She loves him. He came to her at night because he desired her. She didn't get up fast enough, but yeah. He was there. You know, there is a lot of emotions represented there too.
There's also Proverbs 5:18-19, and there it says, a loving graceful deer, may her breast satisfy you always. And that is showing that there is more than just intercourse, and that there is more than just the simultaneous orgasm. There's just other things that we enjoy about one another's bodies, that the sexuality, as you're saying, Bunny, is just, or maybe Chris said, is just broader. It contains a lot of different activities.
You know, one of the things that I've been thinking about is in Ecclesiastes, it says to eat, drink, and be merry, and to enjoy the days of the life that you have, that there's nothing wrong with enjoying the physical pleasures of life. So even though there's so much in especially in the Song of Solomon that says that sex is more than just physical, the Bible also tells us there's nothing wrong with enjoying the physical experiences within the boundaries that God gave us. So I don't want anybody to think that we're saying, so you can't enjoy the physical aspects, because
no,
that is fun.
Yeah. It's just, but sex is more than that.
Yes.
There's also the, just the concept of one flesh tells you that there is, that it is not transactional. It is not, it is physical, but not just that. It's just, there's this bonding that happens, between two people having sex in marriage. And that's how God designed it to be.
Mm-hmm. And in that verse, which I can't pull up at the moment, it's in Genesis, where a husband is to leave his family and cleave to his wife. That word cleave in Hebrew, an alternate definition is stick together or cling, which kind of, it kind of alludes to glue. So sex is the glue in a marriage.
Well, nothing you can do, because I'm stuck like glue to my guy.
Didn't know that was a biblical song. See, pop culture based on the Bible, right?
Hey,
there.
That's Sister Act.
That's not, yes. Sister Act. That is much older than Sister Act.
No, I know, but yes, Sister Act, they sang it. They sang it in Sister Act.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah. Well, when I think about, is it in Ephesians 5 where they talk about the one flesh mystery between a husband and wife? And that, and right there it says, but I'm not just talking about marriage. I'm also talking about the intimacy between Christ and the church. And that right there, that sexual act really is so much more. And it parallels this intimacy that we have with God, or that we will one day experience. And it's not just about the fun times and the happy ending. Well, it's about the very happy ending that we haven't ever gotten to yet. That's, but we right. will some days.
Glory.
Wow. That just blew my mind. I have to think about that. The real happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
That should be a blog post.
The happy days.
Happy days, happy ending.
There's two other things that are coming up to me. And one is that we talked about the he always wants it, she never does myth in pop culture. And there's so much about sexual being mutual. And there's the scripture, 1 Corinthians 7, 3-5. And a lot of times what you hear from that is people come and they go, well, that's the one that says, do not deprive. So don't deprive your spouse. And it's usually like pointed at the wife. Don't deprive your husband.
He has needs.
Yeah. Well, first of all, if you actually look at it, it says the wife, it mentions the wife first, that the wife has the right to marital rights from her husband, and then the husband. And also you have to kind of understand the context is what people were doing was not having sex in marriage and thinking that was a more spiritual choice. And Paul is saying, no, that's not the point. And the biggest point of that passage is it's a mutual thing, that it isn't one deprives and one demands. It is, y'all are to come together and figure these things out, and y'all are to take care of one another. And that doesn't mean one person gets taken care of and one doesn't. It means that you are interacting as a couple on this.
Right. And maybe since sex is sex contains the physical, the spiritual, and the emotional. And since it contains those three things, if you're depriving each other of the sexual intimacy, could perhaps you're depriving each other not only of the physical, but you're depriving each other of the spiritual and the emotional aspect as well. So we often think that the husband's being deprived, you know, going back to the stereotypical thought about this verse, that the husband's being deprived of his sexual release. But I think of it as mutual, as well as you're depriving each other of these other two things.
It's that deprivation of intimacy that is the bigger problem.
And the other issue we have sometimes is that we as Christians need to make sure we understand deprivation is not a single missed moment. A lot of times it's like, well, you can never say no. That's not what deprivation is.
She deprived me on Tuesday last week.
I can miss a meal and not be deprived of food. Okay, so.
And also, sometimes a spouse wants a certain act, and if they're not given that act, they're saying that they are deprived, and that is just not true.
And sometimes it might be the persistent demand for the act that is actually depriving the other spouse of actual intimacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other thing is, it doesn't say anything about demanding your rights.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't say that you can demand from your spouse that, you know, it says to each spouse, you know, you need to do this to boost the intimacy in your marriage. But it doesn't say, husbands, you can demand, or wives, you can demand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing is, and I'm trying to go back to the things that we mentioned in our myths, and that is pornography. And what the Bible says are that there's a verse, and I'm not going to know where it is, but it says, I think it's Proverbs 5 or 6, drink from your own cistern.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, it's in this context of talking about not being adulterous. And it's basically saying your sexuality is to be focused on your spouse fully and entirely. And Jesus goes on later to talk about how we shouldn't lust after someone who is that we're not married to.
You know, that word lust in Matthew is actually the same word as covet.
Yeah, it really connotes, because I have a whole post on this too, it connotes an intense longing. And there are actual times in the Bible where this intense longing is positively portrayed. Mm-hmm. The problem is that your intense longing is for something you're not supposed to have, that coveting that you say, Bonnie.
Yep.
And so that's what you're doing, is you're coveting someone else. And that's not God's will.
Mm-mm.
I think that we also need to make sure, because we mentioned men watching porn, I'm seeing this more and more and more in pop culture, and that is women sharing man candy pictures, you know, doing Magic Mike, watching the 50 Shades of Grey, basically turning around and objectifying men as if that somehow evens the scales. And again,
or that it's even okay. It's okay and better than men.
It's
like this double standard.
But that demeans us and it demeans them.
And the whole idea, I mean, because I remember when Magic Mike came out, a lot of women I knew were going sort of like their girls' night out. And I'm thinking, if our husbands decided they were going to have a guys' night out and we're going to go to a strip club and watch a bunch of naked women, we would be throwing a fit. But so while it's not okay for us to go see Magic Mike together. And then there's that sense that when you're, you know, when women are doing this and watching these things and sharing these books, that there's almost this sense of sharing some of your sexual preferences and interests and desires with other women. You might not be being sexual with each other, but that just seems icky to me.
Well, Ephesians 4:18 through 19 come to mind here, and I've opened my Bible, and it says, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. So I think if we watch this kind of stuff too much, and we let it infiltrate us, we're going to lose our sensitivity towards what God desires, because it's all around us. It must be okay. And our hearts get hardened and we lose our discernment and our insight. So I think that all these Magic Mike parties and all of this stuff comes from, we're just being oversaturated with it and we have to turn it off.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, you know, in addition to turning off, I think we need to encourage one another. I think that's why the community is important. And I, you know, honestly, I know if I reported back to y'all, hey, I saw Magic Mike last night and I just like whooped it up with my girlfriends, y'all would be like, excuse me.
That's not okay.
You could have used that time to be sexual with your husband. But you know, y'all wouldn't just call me on it, but we just have this constant encouragement with one another to have healthy, godly sexuality in our marriages.
I think, and if we continue to talk about how sex within marriage is a celebration and how awesome it is and how bonding and connecting, and there's just so many benefits that sex outside of marriage, you know, that single sex can't even touch.
I did say to somebody, this was so strange, with Magic Mike movie, I was on the phone with somebody, like with an insurance company, trying to reschedule my payment date for something. And somehow that turned into a conversation about Magic Mike. And she was saying that
only
she was going
with
to...
you.
Oh, I know.
The customer service lady.
I know. But she was saying that she was doing one of these girls' nights with her, you know, to go see Magic Mike. And she said, oh, are you going to see it? And I said, no, I don't really want to go see a movie about naked men. I'd rather stay home and spend time with a naked naked man that I have waiting for me. And she said, Oh, I didn't even think about that. I wonder what my husband would think. And I said, well, why don't you ask him?
I haven't used it, but I've heard about it. There's a software that filters out nudity and sex, and it's called VidAngel. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's, you know, if it's, you know, bad compromise. But anyways, I'm much happier not watching too much TV.
One of the things that I do is when my husband and I are watching something, we talk about, you know, I say, is that kind of the way you feel? And we talk about what we see in marriage or in how intimacy is portrayed. Talking about it kind of reminds us what's real and what's true and that that's just entertainment.
I was just going to say, you know, I think women need to cultivate their discernment about what's healthy and what isn't. One way to do it is in community, like we talked about, but a lot of people don't have that kind of community where they can talk to other women about it. So I think just, you know, reading, you know, the kind of books we talk about, the kind of blogs we talk about and link to in our resources, and just, you know, filling themselves with positive information. And that allows you to discern not only from the popular culture, but also sometimes from what the church says, which is not helpful. I mean, the church does not always have a good track record, not in the way of promoting like nudity or pornography, but of, you know, other kinds of negative things. So if you kind of saturate your mind with positive information about sex and healthy marriage, then you can discern on all ends of the spectrum when you're getting information. Is this really beneficial to my marriage?
I also think that when you're watching something, there can be a show or movie or even a novel that's just really great, and there's just a single scene that's problematic or something like that. And so I get that. And what I have found is kind of what Chris is talking about. But honestly, when you get into a story, you tend to be very engrossed in the story. And if you start making comments about what's there, you force yourself back out of the story a little bit and get a little more perspective. And so sometimes I've just kind of done a running commentary on what's happening. Like, you know, oh my gosh, like that would never happen. I mean, I usually make something funny. Like they're going in, oh yeah, sure. Sure. She just happened to put on the perfect black lace panties and bra tonight, not knowing that she was going to have this happen. Oh, look, he picks her up and she's perfectly against the wall, looking like that's totally effortless. Ha! You know, and so it kind of gives you a little more like these people are performing. They have a script writer, a choreographer, lighting people, you know, a personal trainer, makeup artist, and it's edited, you know, it just gives you kind of more of a distance from that.
It'd be super fun to do it as a golf announcer. He approaches the woman. She takes the stance. Oh. He missed.
He missed.
It's a birdie.
Oh my gosh.
You missed it the did. Hole.
I have to say one other thing, and okay. We can cut it out, but I just have to say this. How come no woman ever has to guide him in?
I don't think we should cut that part out because I think that's really important. That's one of those logistical things that our group members were talking about, that, you know, you never have to think about.
She just like slips right in.
Or you stop mid-entry and you go, wait, more coconut
different
oil.
Angle. I'm gonna fix my hips.
More lube.
Or I've never seen anybody repulsed because of bad breath. Like, ooh. Dude,
did shower first.
Yeah.
Well, I think that we've done about as much as we should.
As much damage as we can.
Go watch wholesome pop culture and be discerning and read the Song of Solomon.
And here's to Howard and Marion Cunningham.
And go Red get and Kitty. Frisky.
And Red and Kitty.
All right. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Sex Chat for Christian Wives.
We are excited to announce our upcoming webinar series. We have three scheduled: on July 18th, Understanding Your Sex Drive; on September 19th, Foreplay; and November 14th is Understanding Her Sex Drive, a special webinar just for husbands. All webinars will be at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The cost is $5, and a replay will be available afterwards. Click on our show notes to learn more.
Thanks so much for joining us today on Sex Chat for Christian Wives. We encourage you to check out our website at sexchatforchristianwives.com, where you can find show notes and links to resources. That's sexchatforchristianwives.com. Also, if you enjoyed our podcast, please take a few minutes to leave a review on iTunes so others can find the show. And tell a friend about us. Word of mouth is one of the best ways to reach out to new listeners. We appreciate you being with us today. And we pray that God blesses you this week as you pursue healthy and holy sexual intimacy in your marriage.